Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's Version. Text 1. Sri Shuku Vacha, Atma Mayam Vrte Vajan, Prasyanu Pavatmana, Nagate Tata Sambandha, Svapna Yashtur Abhanjasa. Sri Shuku Vacha,
Sri Shuku Vacha,
Sri Shukadev Goswami said,
Sri Shukadev Goswami said,
Atma,
Atma,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Mayam,
Mayam,
Energy,
Energy,
Rite,
Rite,
Without,
Without,
Rajan,
Rajan,
Okay,
Okay,
Parasya,
Parasya,
of the Pure Soul,
of the Pure Soul,
Anubhava Atmana,
Anubhava Atmana,
of the Purely Conscious,
of the Purely Conscious,
Na,
Na,
Never,
Never,
Gateta,
Gateta,
It can so happen,
It can so happen,
Archa,
Archa,
Meaning,
Meaning,
Sambandha,
Sambandha,
Relation with the Material Body,
Relation with the Material Body,
Swapna,
Swapna,
Dream,
Dream,
Drastu,
Drastu,
of the Seer,
of the Seer,
Eva,
Eva,
Like,
Like,
Anjasa,
Anjasa,
Completely,
Completely,
Sri Shukadev. And he began his material life, although he is apart from the material body and mind, is perfectly answered. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life, but he is absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord, called Atmamaya. This has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vyasadeva's realization of the Supreme Lord and his external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and living entities are controlled by the external energy, by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although the living entity is purely conscious in his pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord in being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the same thing is confirmed. The Lord is present within the heart of every living entity, and all living entities, consciousness and forgetfulness, are influenced by the Lord. First of all, we should understand the significance of Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken to a king. It's actually the duty of the martial and administrative class to understand transcendental knowledge sufficiently so that they can arrange the whole government so that people can make gradual or immediate spiritual progress. The kings, the government leaders, are meant to take advice and spiritual instruction from the Brahmins, the spiritual teachers. And then the martial administrative class is meant to organize society and make sure that society is going on properly so that everyone makes spiritual advancement. This is quite a different conception from the modern version in which the government is supposed to be secular. Actually, it's not that the government is secular, it has a belief. The belief system is that everyone should try to enjoy their senses and that we are the body. That is their religious belief. So it's not that they are neutral. So the government leaders today, they propagate that kind of view and they make decisions based on that kind of view. How to promise everybody more money and more comfort while simply looking out for your own self, out of line in your own pocket. No government leaders have any idea of how to guide the citizens to the ultimate goal of life. It's very important, therefore, to understand that Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are actually meant to be implemented by the ruling class. They're actually meant to organize society, the ruling class, and to actually curb down those who want to disrupt a God-conscious society. Therefore, it's very significant that Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to King Pritchett. Pritchett Maharaj actually controlled the whole world from what is now known as New Delhi in India. This is hard for people today to accept, first of all, there. Scholastic studies of history don't go that far back. 50 centuries ago, they have no idea what was going on, other than now, as we were discussing yesterday, they're saying Stonehenge was constructed 50 centuries ago. They have no idea of the civilizations of the Vedic Age, and therefore they foolishly think that the way human beings are now is the most advanced that's ever been on the planet. Because of their industry and technology, they think this is a symptom of great genius. Anyway, the Vedic texts tell you how Yudhisthira and then Pritchett, they controlled the whole world. Now you may say, how could someone control the whole world? It's hard to understand these days when someone can't even control a city. Even a small country like New Zealand is so much bickering and no one knows what to do, and that is what MMP or something like that. No one can understand this, right? Coalitions and this and that. It's a bunch of weak men who basically attach to their senses and just want to get drunk and get some prestige and have a good holiday somewhere and then go back to their government offices. So, people, they can't understand. How is it possible for one man to control the whole world? One man can't even control New Zealand. It is possible. First of all, if you have proper qualities to lead, proper qualities to manage. And part of those qualities is that you are in harmony with Krishna's guidelines. Because Krishna is the source of everything, Krishna knows best how everyone can be satisfied. Therefore, if the ruling class takes its information from Krishna, certainly then they can run the whole world, because Krishna is in every heart and in every atom, and only Krishna can know what is best for everyone. Therefore, hello, Haribo, is that mine? No, I'm traveling. Yeah, no, I'm in a house. Go on, I can hear you. If you want to call in a half hour, how is that? Let me give you a number. What's the number here?
379.
Okay, what's the city code?
I-6.
6 is the city code, 06. You don't dial the 0, of course. And then?
379.
6579. 6579. Yeah. How do you want? That was caught. So, where were we? Because Pritchett Maharaj is in touch with the Vedic guidelines, and also in his lifestyle, he's pure enough to be in touch with Krishna. Therefore, he can actually run the whole world. Not a big deal. This world is just a tiny speck amongst countless planets in this universe. This universe is a tiny speck amongst countless universes. And the whole material manifestation of countless universes is nothing compared to the spiritual world. Yet people think, oh, how are we going to run the world? What will happen to the world? What will happen to my country, my village? I found it significant that Dennis was saying that most people, the question they ask is, well, what's our purpose here? Very significant. It means they have no idea, first of all, who they are or what the purpose of the context is that they're in. It's very, very sad. Why are we here? Maybe we should just kill ourselves. But we have these senses, and sometimes these senses bring us pleasure, so I guess we should go on just for that reason. Sometimes we do get some pleasurable sensations, so I guess that's what it's all about. tongue, the belly, and the other senses, they feel good, so I guess we'll keep on working and struggling for that reason. So it's very significant. People are wondering, what are we doing here? Why are we here? And of course, as we've discussed many times, they will say, we're here to learn a lesson. You've heard that. But what's the lesson? How do you know whether you're learning it or not? Who's evaluating you? It's like if you go to the dojo, you know, you're there to learn lessons, but you know what you're supposed to learn, and someone's evaluating you to point out you're not learning your lesson. But if you just say we're here to learn, and there's nobody to tell us what the lesson is or whether we're learning or not, it just becomes ludicrous. And that's what it is. This is not human life that's going on today. And it's the government's fault. The people's fault, too. Especially in a democracy. The people elect their government. Now, whether they're the people have any idea what they're doing or not, that's another thing. But still, look at it in the limit to where they elect the government. So that means they're to blame. Fools choose more fools. Or as you read in this second canto, the animals get together and select a bigger animal to represent them. If you're a dog, naturally you'll select another dog to be your leader. So similarly, if you live like a dog, you'll select someone else who lives like a dog to be your leader. It's just yeah, he's one of us. He understands us. He wags his tail, his tongue hangs out. Yes, he should be our leader. And that's what politics is about. This is all explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses select other men of the same genre, of the same category, to be their leader. So there's no hope for any kind of progress in this world without the people's qualities improving. If you go out into Carterton and collect 10 street dogs and say, now, my dear street dogs, please sit down and be peaceful. Can they do it? No. They're street dogs. Similarly, how are you going to have peace today amongst people who have qualities like street dogs? If there's a strong government which understands what the goal of life is, then the ordinary man can benefit. The ordinary man needs a strong government that says, this is this and that is that. But people think, oh, that's horrible, that's dictatorship, totalitarianism. One way or another, you're going to be controlled. So, if someone who knows what they're doing is in charge, that's all right. One way or another, you're going to be controlled. You can't get away from it. So better to be controlled by someone who has pure qualities. But people, they're so crazy, as soon as they think, oh, someone's going to be in control. Who is this Pritchett Maharaj? Who does he think he is running the whole world? I can never trust him, one person. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. As if they're not being corrupted now. As if they're not being controlled now. They're completely in chains, economically and politically, but they can't see it. Because the propaganda tells them, you are free, you can vote, you can choose. You get your dole, don't worry. It's a very sad situation. People have no idea why they're here, and therefore, how can they elect a proper government? It's like you had an election. So there are all the parties there. Completely ignorant. But anyway, I like this New Zealand First Party. Why? Because the whole concept doesn't even make material sense. Tiny little country, New Zealand, 3 million people spending. New Zealand First, think of our nation first. It's totally owned, lock, stock, and barrel by foreign companies. It's totally at the mercy of the worldwide global economy. And yet, New Zealand First. We're tired of importing so many products, we should be an export leader. Get serious. Thank you. ridiculous. And the people say, yeah, yeah, New Zealand first, just like Black Magic won the race. New Zealand first, just like the All Blacks when they win. Yeah, our country to be first, economically, politically. It's serious. They're owned lock, stock, and barrel by international cartels. They'll never be able to. This will never be an export nation. Impossible. You can't compete on the world marketplace with 3 million people, with a population base of 3 million people. How are you going to compete against these bigger countries? Not simply America, but even Indonesia, 200 million people. The manufacturers there, they have a local market of 200 million people, and then they can export abroad too, so there's no way you can meet them. The people, though, they like these slogans. Are they drinking their beer? Yes, New Zealand version. No more foreigners to come here. Too many Orientals in the country. Of course, you noticed as soon as the election was over, all that talk about stopping the Orientals from coming all died down. Because what do the Orientals bring? Money. No one wants to see the tourist industry affected. And what to speak of all the Orientals migrating here, they're bringing all their money with them. Otherwise, there's no money in New Zealand except what the Orientals bring. This actually is meant to be a nation of farmers. People are meant to live simply in this country. It's meant to be like that all over the world, but in this country there's not even a hope of industrial being industrially competitive. There's not even that hope that the people they're thinking like that. Oh, will a factory open up in my town and I can get a job? When I'm driving around New Zealand, I always see I pass through all these different little towns, and many times I see these signs put up by the Chamber of Commerce here, what do they call it here? There's some local office which is trying to bring money to the town. So they have that here?
Yeah,
Council. You see a little sign, welcome to Huntington, the perfect place to locate your industry. And they have a number. Call this number, for information about factory sites in our town. So many towns they have this sign. It's an old sign with the paint chipping off, Welcome to Hokie. Here, your business can prosper. Everyone's hoping like that, but nothing's happening. So, because the government leaders have no knowledge of what they're doing, there's no progress. Now what's going on here? Briefly speaking, we'll explain this. You're getting an understanding of why the spirit soul, what the spirit soul is doing with the material body. How is it? Haven't you wondered? If you're a pure spirit soul, what are you doing identifying with the material body? You ever wonder that? It can't happen except in a dream. That dream is being managed by Krishna's Maya energy. Otherwise, it's not possible for pure spirit soul to have a relationship with the material body and mind. In actuality, it doesn't happen. You dream it happens. This is a dream world in which you dream. This is my body, this is my mind. These other entities are in relation to my body and mind. In actuality, it doesn't happen. Pure soul is always pure consciousness, but you're dreaming. In a dream state, you forget your purity. But that doesn't mean the purity disappears. It's there, but you forget. Or like you've been hit on the head, you have amnesia. Your identity is there, but you've forgotten. So, it's not possible for this to happen. It's not possible for the pure spirit soul to think, I am this body, unless it's influenced by some energy, Krishna's external energy. And that illusory relationship produced between the pure spirit soul and the material body is like a dream. You know, when you dream at night, you see yourself doing so many things. So that's what's going on now. It's not that your pure spiritual identity is lost. It is simply that it's simply that you're hallucinating. So Krishna consciousness is the process, how to wake up from this hallucination, how to wake up from this dream. Any questions? There's the daydream and the night dream. At night you dream, I am this, I am that. And then you think you wake up, but you actually just go into another kind of dream. So the daydream is longer than the night dream, and it seems more tangible, but it's still a dream. What is the dream? I am this body, I am this mind, and I have a life separate from Krishna. That's the dream. The more you hear the Hare Krishna mantra, the more you'll wake up. It's like when you're sleeping. There can be danger, but, and if someone calls out to you, you'll wake up. Sound will wake you up. So the Hare Krishna mantra wakes up the soul, and once again you become aware of your love of Krishna.
When we when we dream at night, is it everybody dreaming?
It's the false ego. It's like you turn on the television. I give an example in Perfect Escape. You're turning the television on, and you got the selector on a distorted station. Snow and all sorts of weird images fill the screen, and you identify with it. So the images are supplied by Krishna, but you choose to identify with them. You're tuned to the wrong channel by your own choice. But you take it as real. Krishna consciousness means turn to the right channel. There is such a thing as the illusory energy, and we're tuned into that, and that's where the source of the problem is. Harsha, any questions? You understand all that? Are you not the body and mind, your spirit soul, but you're identifying falsely with your body and mind? You understand all that?
Yeah.
Seems hard, seems natural that you're the body, right? You look at this flesh, it's me. The dream is very powerful. Then the body convinces you. I knew, satisfy me. And unless you have Krishna conscious awareness, you fall victim to that kind of hallucination. You know, the hallucination is distorted vision, like a dream. Oh, by the way, last night I was looking for your Madonna tapes. I couldn't find them. I saw my Krishna conscious tapes there.
So where's your Madonna tapes?
They were originally Jesus.
Ah!
I'd like to say that for a while.
I see.
Just the
yeah,
I get that.
Did you see those tapes
without? I saw them last. They look like they haven't been listened to in a while. Yes, these kind of singers, they're mad. They're lost in a dream. We are the body. Let's enjoy the body. And their effect is to make everyone else's life worse. It's like your cousin, Jill. Listen to that. Oh, yes. Now I should dye my hair and do exactly like they're saying in the songs. Then I'll be happy. So remember that, please. There's no meaning to the relationship between the spirit soul and the material body without the influence of the external energy, Maya. Maya has made it possible, otherwise it's not possible. And Maya is the energy of Krishna for providing an illusion to those who want it.
Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.